From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We are kicking off the holiday weekend with thunderstorms, mainly in the south now, but I'll show you the timeline for when they cover the viewing area.
Millions of Americans are celebrating the 4th of July away from home this weekend, and that means packed flights and roadways. We're keeping an eye on the situation at RDU International.
Plus, nearly 70 years after the lynching murder of Emmett Till, the discovery of a document reignites the quest for justice. The event planned today to demand an arrest in the case.
The holiday weekend got off to a dry start this morning, but scattered showers and storms are expected to move in this afternoon. A pleasant good afternoon to you. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Some of those showers are here already. The holiday weekend also holds several chances for scattered showers and storms. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at your holiday weekend forecast.
That's right. Here we go. Taking a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar. Some showers showing up. A few thunder and lightning strikes way down to the south. But what we're seeing here as this is kicking off is just some rain. Now, some of that rain is heavy. You can pick out the red color contours. And we have a band of it that's moving from Johnston County, getting ready to move on up into Wake County, moving from Harnett County up toward Sanford and Lee County. Let's zoom in down here around Fayetteville. That was one of the larger cells that we saw earlier. It's beginning to fizzle a little bit, but we're seeing some of that there just north of Salemburg, heading over toward Clinton right now. So it's all starting to pop up in our southern counties right now. We take a look at Sanford, and you can see some of these puffy cumulus clouds. Sanford is really next in line to see some of these showers and thunderstorms rolling through probably in the next 15 minutes or so. Here's a look at Futurecast. Futurecast is a little slower than what's actually happening, but eventually we get into some of this coverage of showers and thunderstorms. So I think what we'll see is a bit more widespread than what we're seeing on Futurecast, and it's moving a little bit faster. So expect showers and thunderstorms. I do think that once we get past sunset, all of this will die out. A lot of this really being fueled by our afternoon or our daytime heating. We do have a level one risk for storms on Sunday. This is not for today or tomorrow, but Sunday we're going to have a disturbance that drops down from the north. We're going to talk about the timeline for that coming up in just a little bit. But here's a look at a preview of your holiday weekend forecast. Our high temperatures will be either side of 90 for the next 4 days, and our best chance of thunderstorms will actually come on Sunday. And of course, that's the day that we already have that level one risk for severe storms. Fireworks forecast, a sneak peek at that for Monday night. Looks fine. A couple of hit and miss thunderstorms. It's not a zero chance, but again, Sunday looks like a better chance for storms. And then we have our second named storm of the season, Tropical Storm Bonnie. It's way down here, getting ready to move across Central America. I'll show you where it's headed coming up.
And I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the WOEL Live Center, taking a look at holiday travel for RDU, which is what you're looking at here on FlightAware. You can see all of the planes in the air, things taking off mostly on time, very few delays or cancellations. But RDU officials say it will be the busiest travel day of the July 4th holiday weekend. You can see this live picture now at RDU International Airport. They are recommending, though, to make sure you show up 2 hours ahead of your flight and to also possibly go ahead and prepay for parking. That way, your spot is guaranteed.
Nearly 70 years after the gruesome lynching of a 14-year-old boy in Mississippi, there are new calls for an arrest. A team searching a Mississippi courthouse basement for evidence in Emmett Till's murder found the unserved warrant. It charged a woman in his 1955 kidnapping. Now, Till's relatives want authorities to finally arrest her. That woman, Carolyn Bryant Donham, now in her 80s, lives in Raleigh, where activists are calling for her arrest. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us now with details on this local tie to the case. Chelsea.
Very interesting why Raleigh's on the map. In just about 2 hours, civil rights activist, national civil rights activist John Barnett and others will gather here, holding a press conference in front of the DA's office in downtown Raleigh to demand the arrest of Carolyn Bryant Dunham. Now, the group says they want their demands heard by the district attorney here and that for Dunham to be charged and punished. A warrant for the arrest of Dunham was found last week by researchers inside a file folder that had been placed in a box in a downtown Mississippi courthouse basement. Now, Dunham set the case off in August of 1955 by accusing the 14-year-old Till of making improper advances at a family store in Mississippi. A cousin of Till who was there said Till whistled at Dunham. Now, evidence indicates a woman possibly heard her, identified Tilda, the men who later killed him, one of whom which was her husband. The arrest warrant against Dunham was publicized at the time, but authorities in Mississippi told reporters he didn't want to bother the woman since she had two young children to care for. Dunham's last known address is in North Raleigh. We went there this morning to ask her about these public calls for her persecution, but no answer. Till's family speaking out today.
We dropped to our knees. We prayed. We shouted. We embraced each other.
And the story had always fascinated.
Now, Tim Tyson, a research scholar at Duke, wrote a book about 4 years ago called The Blood of Emmett Till. He is the only historian, the only journalist to ever interview Dunham. She, of course, is the woman, the center of this pivotal case. Now, last December, the investigation into the Till's murder was actually closed by the Department of Justice. They had reopened it after that book that we just mentioned. They actually closed that investigation, though, in December, citing lack of evidence. We'll be here at 2 o'clock, and you can watch that live on WREL.com. Back to you.
Just incredible. We will be watching Chelsea Donovan live in Raleigh.
Well, the cost of parking in Durham is going up a lot. WREL's Nye Harden explains the sudden jump in parking costs.
Well, drivers today who come by here to pay for parking, they're going to be able to put in their information. And what they'll begin to see are the changes. Now, as of right now, it still says $1.50 per hour, but that has since gone up to $2.50 per hour for on-street parking. And then you have garage parking that has gone up from $1.25 per hour to $2.25 per hour. Now, parking is still free on the weekends, Friday after 7 p.m., Restaurant owners downtown fear this will stop some customers from coming and making it harder to find staff. The city wants to use the money to offset improvements to the parking system. We spoke to one person who lives here who says they also have some concerns.
There's people that come to work here and have to drive in and park, and they're now using some of their paycheck to pay more for parking. So, I don't know how you separate that out to have people who work downtown maybe get kind of like a discounted rate versus people that are coming just for fun to pay the standard rate. But there's got to be some in between or some middle ground there.
And event parking has also gone up from $5 to $7. Nye Harden, WREL News, Durham.
Well, starting today, the budget taking effect in Clayton will mean families there will pay hundreds of dollars more per year for utilities. Residents will see their costs for water and sewer go up by 15% combined, while electricity rates increase by about 7%. The town cited rising costs for supplies, equipment, and labor.
We turn now to Uvalde, Texas, where city council members held a special meeting last night to discuss the response by police in the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez was there as emotional families demanded answers.
Growing outrage in Uvalde.
19 Two. Children.
Ma'am, I realize.
Massacred. In a meeting about a massacre that happened.
Ma'am, let me tell you something. I feel your pain. We all do.
Oh, no, you don't, sir.
Frustration spilling over at a city council meeting Thursday. As family members of the mass shooting victims at Robb Elementary demand news of the investigation into the police response more than a month after the massacre.
You have no idea how frustrating this is. No idea. And we're sitting here just listening to empty words. That's all it is. Empty words.
The sister of Irma Garcia, one of the two teachers killed, did not identify herself by name at the meeting, but expressed her pain.
These kids were obliterated. My sister's obliterated. It was a closed casket. I couldn't hug her. I couldn't touch her. I couldn't say my last goodbye.
Mayor Don McLaughlin telling residents the city cannot share anything with the public because of the ongoing investigation.
We're not trying to hide anything from you. We're not trying to do anything. We don't have anything. DPS has tied our hands.
But that did not stop the painful pleas from the public.
Look at us as a dad, as a parent. Don't do what you can do as a mayor. Go beyond that. I know there's a limit on what you can do. Go beyond that. What if it was your kid?
Some family members also demanded to know why Pete Arredondo, the school district's police chief, who was placed on administrative leave last week, who was sworn into the city council just days after the shooting, was noticeably absent for the second straight council meeting. Arredondo's actions during the shooting have been highly criticized.
We're not here just to sit around. We are demanding answers. Show your face. Answer our questions now.
And they will live with that pain every day. Parents also looked ahead to the upcoming school year, some saying they now lack the confidence that their kids will be adequately protected.
Well, WNBA star Brittany Griner appeared in a Russian court this morning for the beginning of her criminal trial. Griner was arrested in February on cannabis possession charges at an airport in Moscow while traveling to play for a Russian team. The arrest came less than a week before Russian troops invaded Ukraine. During today's hearing, her detention was extended until December. Her attorney told reporters Griner told her she is keeping the faith. Now to stocks this noon hour. Investors remain skittish about the economy. You can see the Dow beginning this new quarter. The way it ended, down more than 120 points. The S&P down and about more 15 points. And the Nasdaq also in the red this noon hour.
Sheriffs in North Carolina could soon be required to check the immigration status of arrestees. A bill that passed the House and Senate on party lines this week would require all sheriffs to cooperate with ICE. They would have to check for an ICE detainer for anyone arrested for a violent crime whose legal status isn't clear. Opponents say it would encourage racial profiling and lead to people being held against their constitutional rights. It now goes to the desk of Governor Cooper, who vetoed a similar bill 2 years ago. WREL is your resource for planning your July 4th weekend activities. We have several fireworks shows and other celebrations planned in central North Carolina. Many of them take place Sunday. We have a list to help you prepare your July 4th holiday on WREL's Out and About page. You can find it on WREL.com or on our news app. Next at noon, the battle for ocean territory off the South African coast between great whites and orcas, also known as killer whales.
Also, a sex trafficking scheme uncovered. How investigators busted a couple for using a popular social media site for illegal activity.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the WOEL Live Center. Before grilling this weekend, take a close look at your pantry. There has been listeria contamination involving Vidalia onions. We want to show you what we're talking about here. A&M Farms of Georgia announced a voluntary recall of its whole Vidalia onions due to that possible contamination. So the items in question were sold in late June in stores in Florida, Georgia, Massachusetts, New York, and Pennsylvania. Not North Carolina, but a lot of people are traveling to and from those states this holiday weekend. Consumers are advised to return these onions if they have purchased them. Certainly dangerous to try and keep them.
Micaiah, thanks. An extraordinary rare portrait of Princess Diana will be on public display for the first time. The radiant oil sketch was completed in 1994 by American artist Nelson Shanks. It was recently sold at a New York auction at nearly $200,000. In the portrait, Princess Diana is seen wearing a green dress with this facial expression. The portrait will be on display through July 6th.
Serial killer whales are claiming their territory in the South African coast, causing sharks to stay away from shore. Researchers spotted two orcas terrorizing a great white away from the coast of Cape Town. The pair suspected of killing five sharks in the last 5 years. Researchers believe sharks' sense of fear sets off a mass migration when they know a predator is near. I want to turn our attention out to the forecast. A lot of people have outdoor plans. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WRCW Weather Center.
We're going to see a whole lot of this afternoon and evening thunderstorms. We have a little bit of lightning that's now just starting to pop up here in the northwestern corner of Johnston County. This is all about to move on up into Wake County. And this is a lot earlier than our computer models have been showing. So it looks like this is going to be with us on and off through the afternoon. We're gradually going to see this moving northward, most likely making it all the way up to the I-85 corridor. But this is a look at the big big view, and you can see the cells look pretty small, but they are producing some heavy rain and some lightning. You can see these lightning strikes just right up the I-40 corridor as you're traveling through Johnston County. A little bit of rain just to the west of Andrew. It's just come through Lillington over here in Sanford, getting ready to see some of the rain moving through there as well. We head back down to the south, and what we had developing there in Cumberland County is starting to fizzle a little bit, but there's more where that came from. You can see this next band starting to move up from the south, headed toward Roseboro there in Sampson County here, probably in the next 30 minutes or so. Let's take a tour around the area, looking at a lot of big puffy cumulus clouds, and it's 85 degrees there in Raleigh. We head over to Chapel Hill. We take a look from Top of the Hill Restaurant. Same story. A lot of big puffy clouds there, and as the system starts to move up from the south, and we're going to see more of these clouds producing some showers and storms. Mid-80s in Chapel Hill and low 80s here in Fayetteville, where we have thicker cloud cover and more showers and thunderstorms that have been popping up. We take a look at Futurecast, and again, Futurecast running a little bit behind on its placement of these showers and thunderstorms, but you can see it continues to bring some showers and storms on through the afternoon, all the way until about sunset or so, and then after sunset, we can expect those to start to fizzle out a bit. We'll take a look at what we're expecting as we get into the afternoon. 86 degrees right now with a dew point of 70. It's really warm and sticky. We're going to climb to around 90 degrees in the middle of the afternoon. It'll be a little bit cooler down south where we've seen more cloud cover and maybe a few more showers and thunderstorms, but expect temperatures close to 90. That dew point's right up around 70 for the next couple of days. And Monday, 75. That is a high dew point. So we're looking at our feels like temperatures being in the mid-90s for the next couple of days, upper 90s through the holiday weekend, and maybe even reaching as high as 102 on Tuesday. So our sneak peek at the holiday weekend forecast, again, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A good chance today. It's a 50% chance today. It backs off a little bit Saturday and then really ramps up on Sunday. Sunday's really looking like the wettest day. I'm going to go over Sunday hour by hour in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that level one risk for severe weather. For 4th of July itself, we're back down to about a 30% chance. So, you know, at any place, any time through the afternoons and evenings, any day, not just through the holiday, but into early next week, we could see those afternoon and evening storms.
Elizabeth, thank you. Coming up at 4, WREL investigates found in Raleigh and Durham, fire department employees have gotten more than $5 million in OT from last June to this June. We're looking into what department leaders are doing to address this.
Also, flies, gnats, and employees not washing their hands. That's just a few of the issues we found at one restaurant. Today at 5, we'll tell you where and what else we found with 5 on Your Side's restaurant ratings. But our new news continues now. While many families are planning family vacations, others are already looking ahead to the school year. Later, how much Americans are expected to spend on school supplies.
Also, in the age of inclusion, Hollywood is making moves to bring to life different voices. How some new projects are allowing actors to live their authentic lives on the big screen.
Live at Rocky Mount Mills, a rather sunny Rocky Mount Mills, as we get ready for our 4th of July weekend holiday. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Fireworks prices are on the rise this 4th of July, and why Delta pilots were walking the picket line yesterday. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Inflation is hitting the price of fireworks this 4th of July. Costs for shipping, raw materials, and labor have been pushing prices up. Overall, the American Pyrotechnics Association says costs are 35% higher industry-wide, but the shortage of fireworks the last 2 years has eased a bit, and retailers and distributors say they're in better shape to meet demand this year. The housing shortage is showing signs of easing. The number of active listings of homes for sale jumped 19% in June from a year ago. That's the fastest pace since Realtor.com began tracking the number 5 years ago. But despite the big gain, overall inventory of homes for sale is still about half of what it was before the pandemic. And prices are still high. The median listing price hit a record $450,000 last month. Off-duty Delta pilots picketed at airports Thursday to protest stalled contract talks. Pilots are frustrated with the pace of labor negotiations and the large amount of overtime they've been working. One pilot tells USA Today he's already worked more overtime this year than all of 2018 and 2019 combined. The picketing came as Delta and other airlines gear up for the busy 4th of July travel weekend. A spokesman for the pilot Pilots Association said there would be no walkouts this weekend. General Motors is slowly ramping up production of its electric Hummer pickup truck. The Wall Street Journal says just a dozen of the trucks are being produced a day at a Detroit factory. The ramp up has been slower than usual because the vehicle is using an entirely new electric vehicle platform. GM wants to ensure quality as it uses the new technology, according to the report. That means many of the 77,000 people on a waiting list for the electric Hummer pickup and a related SUV may be in for a long wait. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk.
Google agrees to pay $90 billion to settle a lawsuit brought on by some app developers. The lawsuit centered on the money the app developers made creating apps for Android smartphones. Google says it'll put the settlement money in a fund to support app developers who made less than $2 million in annual revenue from 2016 to 2021. A judge still has to approve that settlement.
Facebook's parent company, Meta Platforms, is slashing hiring plans and bracing for a deep economic downturn. CEO Mark Zuckerberg has told employees Meta cut targets to hire engineers by at least 30% this year. The company is also leaving some positions unfilled and is turning up the heat on performance to weed out employees who are unable to meet more aggressive goals. Meta is dealing with a combination of economic pressures and data privacy hits to its advertising business. Some consumers worried about medical debt hurting credit reports will soon be getting peace of mind. Starting July 21st, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion will not count paid medical debt on reports used by banks, landlords, and others to determine creditworthiness. People will have a year to resolve delinquent medical debt sent to collection agencies before reporting it. Unpaid medical debt under $500 won't be reported. The changes will eliminate 70% of medical debt on reports.
Lots more to share with you in the next half hour. We want to give you a live look at RD International. That's where we've seen a steady stream of airline passengers heading to their holiday destinations. What you can do to make your trip smoother.
And industry experts blame vaping for the uptick in smoking among teens. Coming up, how a recent use from the FDA could help turn those numbers around. But first, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the WORL Live Center. President Joe Biden has just announced the 17 recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And you can see the video of some of them here just behind me. You can see Steve Jobs being one of those people. Denzel Washington, the actor and activist, will also receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You're seeing Gold Star father there. We also have on the list gymnast Simone Biles, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who you now see. Senator and former presidential candidate John McCain also on the list. Lots of big names in total. Again, 17 people.
Micaiah, thanks. Today will be the busiest day for travelers out on the roads and in the sky this holiday weekend. We have you covered on what to expect if you're one of the millions of Americans heading to their holiday destination. This is a live look at RDU International Airport. Such a pretty picture. The weather will cooperate just fine. WRS Michelle McConaughey tracking the situation at RDU International.
RDU International expects more than 182,000 customers to fly through the airport this holiday weekend. They say that number is up from last year. That's up about 17%. They're also trying to make things easier for you to get through security. You're going to see some new technology at checkpoints that'll allow you to get through to your gate faster. It's called CT X-ray scanners, and it allows TSA agents to see 3D images of the contents inside your bag. They say it reduces contact and allows passengers to keep everything inside their bags during the screening process. We spoke with one passenger here at RDU who's heading to Atlanta.
You just got to be adjustable and you got to be flexible. So, you know, try not to get too vexed about anything. Easy sailing.
And because of the higher traffic volumes this holiday weekend, airport officials say it's always a good idea to get here earlier, maybe even book your parking in advance. We're at RDU International. Michelle McConaughey, WRAL News.
From air travel to the roadways, we're tracking gas prices for you as well. Normally, gas prices go up before a holiday weekend like this. Right now, prices are not spiking in North Carolina. The 3 a.m. report from AAA shows the average price for a gallon in our state, $4.49, and that is 1 cent lower from yesterday and an 8 cent drop from this time last week. You know, a year ago, we were paying an average of $2.89 a gallon in North Carolina. The WRAL Fuel Tracker can help you find the lowest prices near you. Search fuel on WRAL.com or the news app.
We have an important reminder for people living in Wake County. Today is your last chance to register to vote in the July 26th runoff elections. Those runoffs will be held for several elections, including Wake County Sheriff and 2 Cary Town Council seats. You can register online or at your local Board of Elections office. The new state budget is underway to Governor Cooper's desk at this hour. State House and Senate lawmakers gave it final approval this morning. It won widespread bipartisan support in both chambers. Critics say, though, it doesn't give teachers and state employees enough of a pay increase. The governor hasn't said whether he plans to veto it. He will have 10 days to make that decision.
A couple in Ohio is charged with sex trafficking after police say they used a social media site for prostitution. Prosecutors say the couple ran a drug-fueled sex trafficking ring carried out across 6 states. CNBC's Perry Russum explains authorities say they did it using an adult entertainment site.
Prosecutors in New York are calling it an abhorrent sex trafficking scheme playing out in part on OnlyFans, one of the most popular adult video platforms in the world. Prosecutors say Jonathan Ruiz and Charlene Santiago are the ringleaders. The married couple was arrested in Ohio where they were living, both pleading not guilty. Ruiz is accused of posting prostitution advertisements online for women and then driving the women to work in hotels in multiple states in the Northeast. Santiago is accused of waiting outside to get paid. According to prosecutors, Ruiz, who is also known as Saint, would punch the women if they didn't want to work, if they tried to save any money, if they didn't make enough money, if they tried to run, or if they just fell asleep. And to keep them from falling asleep, Ruiz is accused of forcing them to do cocaine. According to the indictment, on at least one occasion, he displayed a firearm. Prosecutors say Ruiz's beatings resulted in black eyes, bruising on the body, and cuts leading to long-lasting scars. According to prosecutors, the pair took the women's IDs, birth certificates, and social security cards to keep them from running. And with the cards, they fraudulently got thousands of dollars in government benefits and took out loans. According to the indictment, Ruiz told one of the women to create photographs and videos for use on OnlyFans and threatened to hit her if she didn't. In the indictment, it says Ruiz talked with clients on OnlyFans to set up the prostitution dates. A spokesperson for OnlyFans says in part, "We do not tolerate illegal, abusive, or non-consensual content or any other violations of our terms of service and take appropriate action when such violations are detected or reported."
That was Perry Russum reporting. Santiago's lawyer denies the allegations. Ruiz's lawyer calls this a bad situation, adding the charges are serious. Prosecutors say the group tried to hide by creating an LLC in Connecticut and by handing out fake pay stubs.
The FDA orders all Juul e-cigarettes off the market. After the break, we'll talk live with a guest about the impact of the brand on the teenage vaping crisis.
Plus, Hollywood learns that representation does bring people to the theaters. The encouraging signs that stories of people with disabilities are bankable. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app. Last week, the FDA announced Juul's e-cigarettes can no longer be sold in the U.S. This decision represents the most significant action the FDA has taken to try and reverse the youth e-cigarette epidemic. Joining us to talk about this decision is Matthew Myers, president of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us. Juul is a big vaping brand that appealed to teens. So talk about the significance of this action pertaining to Juul and its impact on the teenage vaping crisis.
It's critically important. Juul, more than any other company, fueled a meteoric rise in youth e-cigarette use and continues to be very popular among our nation's children. So the decision by FDA, which was based on core safety issues, is a critical first step. Juul has already challenged it, as they have every regulatory measure. What will be critical is for FDA to stay the course and ensure that the Juul products that appeal to kids come off the market.
And so that's the order from the FDA, but I understand Juul filed a request for a hold until at least July 12th. Does that mean that teens could still have access to the product then?
Unfortunately, Juul's products are still on the market, and they will probably remain on the market until the court allows the FDA to move forward. That's why the critical message here is the FDA action is a strong first action. It appears to be solidly based on science, and therefore, hopefully, the FDA will win. It's also important for FDA to tackle the other flavored products that appeal to kids. But in the interim, parents and kids should be aware that neither Juul nor other e-cigarettes are, quote, safe. They're highly addictive, and they have resulted in many kids becoming seriously addicted.
And a recent study, speaking of addiction, found that last year more than 2 million kids reported using e-cigarettes. How do those numbers compare with tobacco use by teens? And is there a correlation between teens using e-cigarettes and then turning to smoking?
Well, it's a perfect question. As a result of the marketing of Juul and similar products, we now have more kids addicted to tobacco and nicotine than we have at any time in the last 20 years. That's particularly important because kids who experiment with Juul and these products are far more likely to become addicted. And we now know that somebody who starts using an e-cigarette is about three times more likely to become a cigarette smoker and therefore suffer from all the harms of cigarette smoking.
Well, we'll continue to follow this battle between the FDA and Juul. Matthew Myers with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Thanks so much for your time and your insight.
Thanks for having me on.
Our news continues now. People around the world are transforming into mermaids. This growing trend is giving people the chance to spread joy and knowledge about protecting the ocean. Plus,
less than 1% of children's content features a disabled character.
Yeah, representation matters. Coming up, how Hollywood and production studios are making moves to ensure everyone sees themselves depicted in storylines. The Longleaf Golf and Family Club at the Pinehurst Resort in Moore County. You see a lot of golf activity out there today, and a lot will probably happen this weekend. Well, earlier this year, CODA made history as the first Oscar's Best Picture winner with a predominantly deaf cast. The film also put a spotlight on disability representation in Hollywood and how more doors could and should open. While some experts say the change isn't coming as fast as they hope, they are seeing some encouraging signs. The most recent example, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, which was picked up by Apple TV Plus for a reported $50 million at Sundance. It features an actress with autism, bringing her authentic experiences to the set.
A lot of times people are nervous about bringing in an actress with a disability. And so they want to reach out. They want to ensure the language that they're using in the script is okay. They want to ensure that the set is set up appropriately for success.
Children's content is also moving forward. Less than 1% of children's content features disabled characters. Mickey Mouse Funhouse added a deaf character. And another preschool series, Team Zingo Go, has an actor with a disability as well.
As the summer sun keeps making temperatures hot, 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 people who love mermaids are sharing just how cool the growing underwater trend is becoming. Ashley Strohmeyer has a special look.
Get ready to take the plunge as we deep dive into mermaiding, a growing trend making a big splash here in the United States and around the world. With thousands of merfolk praising the activity that celebrates inclusivity, community, exploration, and even education.
Through this sort of like silly, frivolous activity, right, dressing up and swimming around, you can use this as a platform to teach kids about our waterways.
But back in the early days, mermaiding wasn't so accessible. The vibrant tails were primarily custom made, cost thousands of dollars, and could weigh close to 50 pounds. Over time, a wider selection of cheaper tails made with lighter materials started flooding the market, helping mermaiding transform into a multi-million dollar industry while providing more opportunities to those curious to try it.
It's one thing that helps me to bring back my sanity. I tend to be relaxed when I do mermaiding because the movement.
And people can't seem to get enough with local groups of merpeople called pods working to spread their skills.
We really have the opportunity to teach people how to do things safely and foundationally.
And that was Ashley Strohmeyer reporting. While it seems purely fun, this unique activity is also highly credible, with some of the world's top scuba diving organizations now offering official mermaiding courses. Well, they definitely have the concept of staying cool right on the money. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with how our temperatures will heat up. And then also we have to dodge some showers and storms, too.
It sounds like a great idea to me over the weekend. But you may want to do it before lunchtime, because after that, each afternoon through the weekend and even into next week, we're going to be dealing with scattered thunderstorms. We have a little bit of lightning, as I told you, showing up there in Johnston County. A few lightning strikes back here across Lee County, too. So a lot of this lifting north. The cells seem very tiny, but they're producing some heavy rain, and there is some thunder and lightning with these. And they're stretching northward, getting ready to move across the line from Johnston County here into Wake County. I expect that to continue to move on up toward Raleigh as well, Apex, Fuquay, Varina, Anger, seeing some of those showers and thunderstorms. And another band down to the south, Lillington. Notice that band there that's moving through Sanford. I'm going to show you the picture in Sanford, the camera, in just a second. Carthage seeing some thunder and lightning right now, too. We've had some showers move through Southern Pine. So a lot of our southern communities dealing with some of that rain. Take a look at Sanford. It's coming down. I mean, it didn't look like it was that much rain showing up on the radar, but it's dumping some rain. You have to remember, we've got so much moisture in the atmosphere right now that it can look like not a whole lot on the radar, and it's just really coming on down. So, yep, wet conditions there in Sanford. And Chapel Hill, we're dealing with a lot of cloud cover, those big puffy cumulus clouds. Same thing at Apex. You can look off to the west there, and we know that band is coming through. Probably going to be moving through Apex in about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Goldsboro looks fine right now. We're not looking at any storms moving through there right away, but later on this afternoon or even in the next few hours, it's certainly likely. You can see these bands of rain really starting to increase here just over the last few hours, all coming up from a disturbance that's sitting off the South Carolina coast. The computer models have been definitely a little slow with this. One thing that we can take from the computer models is you can see everything fizzles out past sunset. So once we get to sunset, I think we're going to be fine. We take a look at tomorrow morning. We may wake up to some cloud cover. And once again, a chance of some thunderstorms. Everything's quiet until lunchtime. We may have a band of showers and thunderstorms that drops in on us from the north. But right now, Saturday doesn't look quite as active as today. Now, Sunday's a whole different story. Sunday looks even more active. We're going to see more showers and thunderstorms dropping in from the north as we get into Sunday afternoon. You can see those scattered showers and storms drifting southward. Pretty good coverage between about 4 o'clock and maybe all the way until midnight or so across our entire viewing area. And then on Monday, we're back to just minimal pop-up isolated showers and thunderstorms. As I mentioned earlier, we do have that level one risk for severe storms already in place for Sunday. Damaging winds, some heavy rain would be the biggest threats. Some small hail, too. And at the beginning of the newscast, we also talked about Tropical Storm Bonnie, our second named storm of the season. You can see it here getting ready to cross Central America, really affecting Nicaragua and Costa Rica with some very heavy rain and the potential for some flooding. Once it moves into the Pacific Ocean over here, it'll get a new name, Darby, and may become a hurricane before it's all said and done. Our beach forecast looks much like it does here. We're going to see scattered thunderstorms each afternoon. Mountains, the same thing. There's really not much place in North Carolina that you'll be able to escape the thunderstorms, but it will be cooler in the mountains and at the beach.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, summer vacation is in full swing, but many parents are already gearing up for the next school year. How much analysts say parents will spend in the coming months?
Welcome back. Here's a live look at Lake Gaston, and what a beautiful view. Looks like there's plenty of room on those boats. Would love to hop in. On the water, by the water, popular places to be, but watch out for those scattered showers and storms. Shoppers may spend less this year on back-to-school shopping. One firm says spending for back-to-school items, which usually starts after July 4th, will see just a 5.5% gain in spending. Last year's school shopping was up more than 13%. Factors affecting the fall-off include inflation, no more stimulus money, supply chain disruptions, rising interest rates, and declining personal savings. The students seated next to your children in elementary school may become their close friends. Researchers say students who sit next to or nearby one another are more likely to become friends than students who seat far away from each other. Even when seat assignments changed, students were more likely to form new friendships. Those deemed near neighbors in group proximity led to close friendships.
Well, the Stanley Cup almost didn't make it to the Colorado Avalanche victory celebration after it was delivered to the wrong address. Married couple Kit and Dimitri says they weren't expecting any deliveries at their Denver home when they spotted an SUV backing into their driveway. Dimitri says he noticed a case that looked familiar and actually joked it might be the Stanley Cup, but when they got a little closer, he realized it was the real thing.
I said, well, can I see it? Can I touch it? And he's like, sure. So the first thing I did was feel the rim.
Are you guys hockey fans?
We are now.
We are now.
As well they should be. After snapping a picture or two, the mix-up was quickly sorted out. The cup was supposed to go to the team's captain, whose address was just one number off from his neighbor's house. It was later delivered to the right address.
Hands down, best wrong delivery story ever. Our pet of the day was rescued from a hoarding situation and now is looking for a forever family that will give her the love she so deserves. Meet Dion. This lovely little six-year-old spayed female dog weighs about 12 pounds. Dion had a rough start to life, and new things can be pretty overwhelming. So she would love a relatively calm household that she can ease into. She just needs a place where she can feel safe and loved in the arms of her new family. Dion might like having a dog friend, especially if they are easygoing. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
And as we wrap things up here, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. In about an hour, civil rights activists will call on Wake County to make an arrest in the nearly 70-year-old Emmett Till lynching. A woman set off that case in 1955 by accusing the 14-year-old Till of whistling at her. That woman, Carolyn Bryan Dunham, now lives in Raleigh. A warrant for her arrest was discovered unserved last week in a Mississippi courthouse basement. Activists will call on the Wake County DA to arrest and charge her.
State lawmakers approved a state budget for this fiscal year. The House and Senate both took their final votes within the last 90 minutes. It is now on its way to Governor Cooper for him to sign. The fiscal year starts today.
Also going to the governor's desk today, a bill that would require all sheriffs in the state to cooperate with ICE. That means checking for an ICE detainer for anyone arrested for a violent crime whose legal status isn't clear. The bill passed along party lines. Governor Cooper vetoed a similar bill 2 years ago.
And we'll continue to follow those developing headlines and more on WREL News when we return at 4.
You can also get breaking updates anytime on WREL.com and the WREL News app. Have a great 4th of July weekend.